Ray Ferraro, analyst for TSN, joins us now. Ray, how you doing?
I'm good. Did I just read on a tweet that there's free wings there?
Yeah, that's right, buddy.
How are you keeping Brownlee on the air?
Well, Brownlee's not allowed to eat wings. He's cut off.
Really?
So, oh, yeah, he's not allowed. On his current health kick, wings are not on his on his hit list. So.
Well, I think it's a good move for the restaurant.
Yeah, though that's true. Yeah, I think it was put in by On the Rocks.
There's no other patrons that are going to get a chance at it.
That's very true. Ray, the Edmonton Oilers is obviously off to a bad start again. You give up 15 goals in your first three games. You're short-staffed at center ice position to begin the season, never mind when Nugent Hopkins goes down. How concerned would you be watching this team after all of last season and then looking at the personnel that they're moving ahead with?
Oh, I'd be really nervous. And last night to me, Jason, it gave me something to be nervous about if I'm an Oiler fan or in management. And that is they didn't look for 1 second like they thought they could win last night. Not for 1 second. And when belief is stripped away, then it doesn't matter what other assets you have. And that is that more than anything is a problem and an issue that they have to chip away at. Because if they don't think they can compete, then you don't have a chance. And last night, I mean, that was they got steamrolled last night.
Oh, it was ugly right from the get-go. And, you know, without Nugent Hopkins, without Eberle, you know, Petrie, I don't understand why he's a healthy scratch when all the other options are on the blue line. Ray, you're right. You talk about that. They look defeated as a group of players. So who's up to, you know, it's up to the players then to turn that around? How does it get turned around?
Well, you can't sit around and wait for management to give you help. You know, because you're sitting there and you have no idea how close they are to a deal or how difficult it is to make a deal. You know, there's no cavalry coming. It's just you guys. And I've said this and I feel badly saying it constantly, but it has to change. One of the biggest issues they have is that they're so young. It doesn't matter if they've been in the league a couple of years. They're so young that there's nobody to lean on. You know, you can say, you know, Benoit Pouliot's been around for a long time or for a decent length of time, but he's been on five teams in 5 years. There's a reason for it. You know, you can't consider him part of the leadership group. Certainly not yet. I mean, he's got a long way to go to prove some of that. You know, Boyd Gordon and Matt Hendricks are real blood and guts guys. They don't play a lot or play enough. So the guys that really play a lot for them are young and they're inexperienced. And so, I mean, to me, the answer is they've got to get more experience in, and it's got to be more impactful experience. But that's been pretty clear that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, and it's hard to acquire that. Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. Ray, Leon Draisaitl, you know, has looked like a rookie player at times.
Yeah.
If you were the Oilers and you look at this season, would it be better off? Like, what would you do with him and Darnell Nurse?
Well, I mean, I'm on record as my preference is that they wouldn't be there.
Okay.
You know, why? What's the point? Like, you've already gone down this road with half the roster. And, you know, one of the questions Craig McTavish brought up early, you know, at prospect camp is, you know, are Eberle and Nugent Hopkins going to be great or good? Well, they've had a couple of years to look at them, and they don't know yet because they're just kids. They're just young. They're just entering into a phase of their career where they should start to take a leap. But you've already got a history with them. Why build that history with Nurse and Draisaitl? I they didn't insulate them enough in the summer. You know, for whatever reason, they weren't able to get another centerman. You can't fall in love with your team in order to improve it. You can't think that you're going to get, you know, a name bandied around here the last day or so. I'm in Toronto right now, is Eric Staal. You can't get Eric Staal for a draft pick. You know, if you're going to make a move, if you're going to go get a centerman, which they should have done, it should have been almost 1B priority behind their defense this year, then you're going to have to give up something you don't want to give up. And here's the thing. People keep telling us about how explosive these Oilers forwards are and what an explosive offensive team they are. Look at their goals for over the last 5 or 6 years.
Yep.
And look where they rank in the league. I think people would be surprised.
Oh, I've said it all along, Ray. This team can't score 5-on-5. They've been one of the worst 5-on-5 teams for years. And their power, even when their power play was great, they were still, in 2012 and 13, still one of the bottom teams. Because if you can't at least compete 5-on-5 in the NHL, you're not winning.
Okay, so we'll look at one of the goals last night. I think it was Jeff Carter's goal. So Yakupov goes behind his own net. And he overskates the puck on the half wall where Nurse is engaged in a battle. But instead of stopping, he continues on. The puck goes down to the goal line. Both he and Nurse turn around and come back to the play. But before they can get to Carter, it's in the back of the net. It's a third year for Yakupov. No, they're not asking him to solve chemistry problems. When the puck is on the boards and there is a puck battle, you have to stop at the point of attack. Ken Hitchcock talks all the time in St. Louis, and Hitch may be as big a pain in the rear end to play for as anybody because he is so incredibly detailed. He drives his guys up the wall. But he has a saying, and it's 100% true, you cannot play the game on the move. You can't swoop by a puck battle and hope that you get it, because if you get it, man, you're going to be going fast. Well, he didn't get it, and it's in the net. So you're shorthanded. The guys that are in the lineup, they have to have the wherewithal to realize we can't play a game that has chances in it. We have to knock minutes off the clock here. We have to grind with the Stanley Cup champions and try and shorten the game up. But if they don't realize that because they're young or they don't get it, then how's it going to change?
I don't really know, Ray. Like, you know, coaches can, I guess the coach can teach you that. And I actually think that Yakupov's defensive awareness has improved a lot. And Aikens,
has
worked with him. But there comes a time, Ray, I think, and as a former player, you can probably address this. And I think anybody in life can address it. It comes a point where you decide if you're going to match the work ethic of the other team. And I still find that the Edmonton Oilers on a lot of nights, when it just comes to simple one-on-one battles, are not matching the work ethic of the opposition.
Here's the tricky part, though, Jason. Lots of times you think you are. You really do. When you're the player, you think that, like, that's all I have to give. And in reality, there's probably a little bit more that you can dig down and find out about. But as I said, there is nothing we can talk about. You know, I mean, Nurse looked young last night, and Yakupov made that mistake, and, you know, Foss got hurt, and it was 3-0 before they broke a sweat. But the most concerning part for me was they looked like they didn't believe they could compete. And I played on crappy teams. And there were nights that I went in there and I was like, man, if we play perfectly tonight, we maybe kind of sort of have a chance.
Yeah.
And chances are you never play perfectly, right?
Yeah.
And that's what the Oilers look like to me. Right? That's what they looked like last night.
How'd you get over that on those crappy teams?
I get traded.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I was one of the problems. I don't know. I mean, I played in Atlanta when we were really bad. And the first year in Long Island, we weren't very good either. And then they made a trade. Brent Sutter wanted to be traded. And Pat LaFontaine wanted to be traded. And we got Benoit Hogue, among others, from Buffalo. And we got Steve Thomas from the Blackhawks. You know, the Buffalo trade was LaFontaine, the Chicago trade with Sutter. And so we changed our identity by making these deals. And these were significant deals. Man, you tell me you trade Pat LaFontaine and you trade Brent Sutter, like, you're diving into the core of your team. You're basically saying, not that they're the problem, but this team, the way it's constructed, doesn't work. Oiler management doesn't feel that way. It's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Because they keep saying the same things over and over again. They're not touching that core of the team. Well, it's getting to the point, would you not? I mean, you don't have to agree with me, but getting to the point that maybe that's what they're going to have to do. Because you cannot keep getting your lunch handed to you. And how much growth does Leon Draisaitl get from a game like last night?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think very much. And I don't want a really good young hockey player, if I'm the Oilers, I don't want a really good young hockey player getting discouraged and thinking that he's brutal because he can't keep pace with the LA Kings. Guess what? Lots of people can't.
Ray Farrar from TSN joins us. Ray, I want to ask you, what did you make of the, like, what does it say to the organization? What message is it when Jeff Petrie is the healthy scratch last night when there's other D-men who clearly aren't playing any better?
I don't know. I mean, I wish I could come up with something. I happen to like Petrie. I know he's got some warts in his game. He turns the puck over too much for people's liking. I happen to think he's pretty good. And so I'm out in left field here, I guess. I don't know why they would have sat him out last night unless there was something internally going on that maybe we're not privy to. But to healthy scratch him, when you're going into that place with that team, it wouldn't have been my choice, put it that way. I have no idea. I can't even come up. Is Jeff Petrie a top two defenseman in the NHL on a good team? No, I don't think so. Is he a top four? I think he can be a four. Absolutely. And I think he can be a good number four. He's better than Tom Gilbert, in my opinion. I mean, I think those two are pretty similar players, not just because they shoot right-handed, but I think Petrie can be pretty good. I can't even make up a reason. I'm not, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, and the scary part about it, Ray, is that, you know, he's a pending UFA who at 27 years of age, there's all the reasons why he'd go to UFA because he could cash in huge, that, you know, the Oilers by benching him, now they're just diminishing an asset even worse. And so you're going to get, like, getting a third and fifth round pick like you got for Alex Hemsky makes you a worse team, not a better team.
Maybe they've got something on the go. I don't know. There are a number of teams that are looking for a right-handed defenseman, and maybe you can make a deal for them. But you have to remember, if they decide to trade Petrie, just as you outlined, Jason, they're in the last year of his contract. So you're not getting one of their A prospects, I wouldn't think. You'd be getting, and when I say prospects, I mean a younger player, not a, you know, you're not going to go, why would you go get a 33-year-old centerman? You know, if you can find a 25-year-old centerman, but they've only got 1 year on with Petrie.
Yep.
Right? They got the end of this year. So that's going to diminish your return already. It's a head scratcher.
Yeah. Well, I've seen some decisions over the years, Ray and Edmonton, that you know, you question at times, but that one last night, like when Yakupov got benched, I understood the reasoning behind it. I did. Young player struggling, wasn't playing well. I have no problem with benching guys if they're playing bad. I actually think maybe a coach should do it more often when you're losing. But Petrie wasn't playing awful, and he definitely wasn't the number seven defenseman on this hockey team right now. You know, Martin Marincin's in the minors. Oscar Klefbom's in the minors. They might be better than – they're both better than Brad Hunt, in my opinion. And I just – right now it seems like the organization is just outthinking themselves.
Oh, there's lots of times that does happen. I mean, I know I played in Atlanta and, I compare them to the Oilers because we were near the bottom of the league too. And, you know, and our management made a couple of decisions where we felt – like, just leave what's here. I think we're better than you think. But they made a couple of trades. They traded Donald Audet to Buffalo for somebody named Camille Pirros. And we were in the room. We were like, are you kidding me? Like, we just got worse. This kid's not even going to come and play for 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, morale gets beaten up pretty deeply with something like that. It also gets beat up when you don't play well. When you get thumped like you did last night. I can't imagine there was anybody on that flight to Arizona yesterday feeling very good about themselves.
One quick one for you, Ray. The New York Islanders, I know it's very early, but, man, Brock Nelson and the boys are lighting it up.
Good for them. I mean, I'm an old alum. I want them to, you know, to have a good year. It's the last year of the Coliseum. Hell, Jason, the last year the Islanders won a playoff series, I was in it. Like, that's eventually got to end, doesn't it?
yeah.
But, I mean, they finally, this year, because they've been a laughing stock.
Yeah.
But they made some moves. I mean, they made the move for Boychuk and Letty. In the summer, they added Yaroslav Halak and Chad Johnson. So, the goaltending's better. Their defense is better. You know, they add Grabowski and Kuhlman as free agents, so they got better up front. They're a better team. And, oh, yeah, they got that one other addition, that John Tavares guy that's back.
Yeah.
He probably helps Brock Nelson a little bit too.
I like the Islanders. I picked them to make the playoffs. I like the moves they made. I love Johnny Boychuk's going to get a lot of power play time now that he's not behind Chara, and he's got a bomb. Ray, we will talk to you again next Wednesday. Enjoy the broadcast.
Thank you. We'll talk to you then.